The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We'll be looking ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. It'll be Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and Stephen Powell in the studio. Down to two meetings, unfortunately. We have action on the all-weather fibre sand at Southwell, and we have jumps action from Leicester. The card at Chepstow, unfortunately falling to the bad weather, and that has been abandoned. Still plenty to look at, though. My name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined in the studio now by Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thanks, Mark.
Good. We have to start the podcast with some news, and unfortunately it's sad news. The fact that Terry Biddlecombe passed away recently. Plenty of tributes to him in the Racing Post, all very nice tributes as well. Many a good word to be said about him. Unfortunately, I can't say anything from first-hand experience, but I'm with a man who can, in Mick. You knew Terry.
Yes, I was fortunate enough to be riding in the mid-60s, and when Terry was getting towards the top of the tree, then if not there already, he was only 3 years older than I am, and but he seemed to have been around forever. I was still a kid in that sense, if you like. And yeah, he was very good to me when I went down to ride at tracks in the Midlands, Stratford, and even further south than that, and he didn't say it was his northern upstart coming down. He was very kind to me, and shortly after that he started to come up north quite a lot to ride the northern tracks for trainer Dennis Smith, and so yeah, we became quite firm pals, and I'm pleased that he went how he did at home and without suffering too much, and yeah, we should celebrate his life, not mourn his death, I think, Mark, because he wouldn't have wanted it any other way.
Yeah, it's nice what you say as well about him being at home. I mean, Henrietta Knight says a similar thing, saying that it's a wonderful way to go. He would have been miserable back in hospital, and he was still chirping, drinking his whiskey. So
absolutely, so what a way to go. Yeah, well done, Terry. Timed it right to the end.
And one of the things that stood out to me when I was reading some of the tributes is the piece by Rodney Masters as well, when he says he played the game as all games should be played, hard and fair, but above all because he enjoyed it. You could see that he enjoyed it, couldn't you?
Absolutely. I sadly tried to keep up with him, and that Gifford on more than one occasion was found sadly wanting for stamina. And yeah, they certainly knew how to live the life. But they were great guys, and sadly missed them both.
Yeah, sad news. We'll move on to the Monday jury next, and then we'll look ahead to Tuesday's racing. And it's very much a Cheltenham-themed Monday jury already.
Is it January the 6th? I suppose we're going to get it rammed down our throats for the next 2 months, are we?
maybe so, but I suppose in the defence of the Monday jury, there really wasn't much to talk about from this weekend, so why not talk about the Cheltenham Festival there?
Yeah, couldn't really do one on the Ashes, could we?
No. That'd be over in a matter of seconds, wouldn't it? England are rubbish. The first question of this week's Monday jury is, which Cheltenham Festival contest do you think Annie Power should be aimed at?
I wouldn't even go there in trying to presume to tell Willie Mullins which race to run one of his good horses in. I'm sure he'll have a plan in mind. Don't forget, she's in different ownership to Hurricane Fly and Covega, if it comes to that. So really, if I was Willie, I would be keeping my options firmly open, and whichever race she goes for, she's going to be exciting. We know she can beat the boys. We know she's effective at Cheltenham. We know she stays 2.5, which will stand her in good stead if she does go for the champion hurdle and just turn up soft. So I think all bets are open, Mark, for her. Okay. Annie Power with a run might be, whatever she runs in, might be the angle. If any of the bookmakers are brave enough to put a price up for that.
No, we haven't got her with a run, but we've got her in at 8-1 for the champion hurdle, and she is 5-1.
No, I meant whichever race she ran in at the festival, you know, rather than with a run in each.
All right, I see what you mean.
Annie Power at Cheltenham, what price? Come on, do it. Let's have a go.
See if we can find it in the specials and see if they've done that. Let's have a look. Cheltenham specials. No, not Price of Beer. How many Cheltenham Festival winners will Brian Cooper ride? Is the only one we've got so far.
But as long as he doesn't break his collarbone the week before.
Yeah. It might be something that the price up later on, though. So
yeah, absolutely, as it gets nearer.
Could be something to look for. Second question, do you like the look of Dipper 1-2, Oscar Whiskey and Takandasu for the festival?
Not particularly.
No?
I think Takandasu is rock solid in as much as, you know, he'd be there or thereabouts. I just think I think they'll both find something to beat them at Cheltenham. I'm a big fan of Oscar Whiskey, and I do think he is getting his act together, but I think something will come along to beat them both.
Yeah, at least if Oscar Whiskey will actually run over 2.5 miles at Cheltenham for once, which is optimal
probably,
trip.
So. Yeah, he'd probably go for the juice, and wouldn't he? Yeah. But I think if Takandasu goes for the Arkle, I think he'll find one or two too good for him.
Okay. Third question, and what do you make of the New Year's Day winners, Return Spring, Mendip Express and Double Ross?
Yeah, well, I think the big plus for Return Spring is he's obviously liking for Cheltenham, and yep. I think they're very visually very impressive. I know there was the day they didn't miss jump many hurdles, wasn't it, Mark? And
yeah.
That can be misleading, but it was the same for them all. The ground was desperate, but he made it look easy, which is always a positive in my book. Mendip Express, I think if it is a sort of normal Cheltenham on a goodish ground, I think that'll play to his strengths for a race like the RSA if they decide to go down that route. And the other one, Double Ross, well, he's sort of the new staying young chaser on the block, isn't he? He defied his weight rise last time, and I think he's very, very progressive, exciting young chaser, Double Ross, and I like the way he goes about his business. And again, we know he likes Cheltenham.
Yeah. Okay, then, who do you like for the festival novice hurdles in the wake of Briar Hills race?
Well, I've always been a big fan of the Tullow Tank, and I think he just goes on improving, and I think he'll put it to whatever takes him on. I mean, Briar Hill keeps winning, but has he really been tested yet? I mean, it was only nothing more than workman like the other day, was it? And I'm not sure until he gets a real question to answer. But it was, I suppose, beating Patchy Jack by 2.5 lengths at the giving him £7. I mean, I know they did think that Apache Jack had improved since winning his maiden hurdle in Punchestown, and I know Brian Cooper does think highly of him. And he did it. Let's see him in Grade One, and let's see what he's like then.
Okay. The next question is a bit of a tricky one as it stands at the moment, I suppose. But give us an anti-post Yankee for the 4 championship races at Cheltenham.
Yeah. Well, that is a tough one, isn't it? I mean, the only solid one really is Bobsworth, isn't it?
Yeah.
With coming back to form in the Lexus last time. I mean, it was just a gold cup all over again. He wasn't going to win half a mile out, and there was only going to be one winner at the line. And I think it'll be the same story at Cheltenham in March. So he's got to go on the list. I mean, they're making all the positive noises about Sprinter Sacra, and the price is east two in the market. You could certainly throw him in without your fear or favour, can't you? Because he's what price is he now for?
We're offering 4-7 with a run, though, so that's on your side as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to stick him in, because if he turns up in A1 form, nothing's going to beat him, are they? I still think that Hurricane Fly is the one to beat in the champion hurdle. I know the new one and my 10 to yours have got their supporters, but they've still got it to do. I think the only reason he got beat the year before was that he and McCoy were playing jockeys and watching each other, and all this was happening, Rock on Ruby just got away from them.
Yeah.
And he didn't make that mistake last year, Ruby, did he?
No, he didn't, no.
And he's still kicking himself for getting beaten on that day.
Yeah, him and Binocular, wasn't it? Just out of the back,
watching each other rather than watching the race.
Yeah, and he proved in Ireland on Sunday that the younger legs still have something to catch on him, don't they? So,
yeah.
Are you going to stick Hurricane Flying then? Should we go with him at 3-2?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. And that leaves the World Hurdle then, Mick.
Yeah, that's right. And again, we've got the old Big Bucks conundrum, but all seems to be well. Gallup at Exeter the other day, everyone seemed happy with it, and we just know if he turns up. Again, what price is he, Mark?
He's 2-1.
2-1.
Which will shorten if he turns up in the Cleve Hurdle and wins that in good style.
Well, you could play it safe with those, and then, you know, just have a little alternative one, a sort of without, if you like, without those big four, which would make it open up your options far more, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. That'll be priced up later on as well. And you could do a few. I mean, just that fourfold there. I know it's a Yankee, but the four-timer part of it, that pays 55.57 to one,
exactly,
which isn't bad for the...
And you haven't had to do much elbow, you know, using much elbow grease to come up with those four, have you?
No.
So, and if they all turn up fitting well to do their jobs, they're all going to take a deal of beating, aren't
they? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Bob's Worth at 2-1, Sprinter Sakura with a run at 4-7, Hurricane Fly at 3-1, and Big Bucks at 2-1. If they all turn up on A1 form, like Mick says, they will all be very hard to get beaten, won't they?
Absolutely.
The proven Cheltenham superstars, really. They're the big ones, aren't they? If you wanted an obvious fourfold, that'd be what you put up. So, yeah, okay. Well, that'll obviously change in the few coming months after they've all had runs and so on and so forth. So, we'll move on to the final question. Anything else caught your eye over the Christmas and New Year period?
Yeah, obviously, Bob's Worth at Leopardstown, we've already touched on. It was great to see him come back to form.
Yep.
Didn't look like winning half a mile out, but made that relentless progress. And you knew, if he jumped the last, that he still had work to do, even jumping the last well. But that was the real Bob's Worth back on track, wasn't it?
Mm.
And, yeah, there was a few kicking about that before. He looks the real deal, isn't it, of Willie Mullins. Again, it has to be yet to be seriously tested, but visually very impressive. But more recently, Mark, I was very impressed with a couple of horses in Nate on Sunday. The first one being Authorization, who came back from a 60-day ban after being given a sort of injudiciously quiet ride by Jody McGarvey at Navan the time before. And Paul Townend wrote a similar race on him, actually, but just... actually put him in the race instead of not doing so, and he won with any amount in hand, and he was an 80 plus horse on the flat. I think Paul thinks that he can go on to a graded company. I'll be following his career with interest. He travels supremely well, and he's got a great jumping technique as well. You know, he could sort of turn up for a race like the Supreme Novices if he goes there and really make a fist of it at even further, because that was 2-3 yesterday, and I mean, just travels into his races so well. So keep an eye on Authorization. Sort of comes from an unfashionable stable down there in County Cork, and you know, these can creep under the radar, these sort of horses. And the other one, and again same thing applies, Tim Doyle in County Tipperary, is Malowney put Ned Buntline well and truly in his place in Nace. A better hurdler than Ned Buntline. I couldn't believe the betting. They went evens, Ned Buntline 6-4 Malowney, even though he's a better hurdler than Ned Buntline. Did nothing wrong on his chasing debut as either when finishing second to Mazeltoff. Mazeltoff, a non-runner in that novice's chase. But he's a horse who will go on improving, and at the minimum trip, you'll get a good horse at 2 miles. As we see with Sprinter Sakura, you've got a really good horse, and you know, I think it's another horse whose future I'll be watching with interest.
Yeah, you put both of them up on the show as well, didn't you?
I was really impressed with the way they got the jobs done as well.
Yeah, Malowney likes it around Nace as well, so if you see him pop up there,
which is a big plus, Nace course form at Nace.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not every horse; it's cup of tea, Nace.
Good. That's the Monday jury then for another week. Let's move on to Tuesday's action. As I mentioned, no Chepstow. That unfortunately abandoned.
Yeah, we're going to have a week of it, aren't we, Mark?
Yeah,
it's quite a few. We've lost Fontwell on Thursday already. And I'm afraid it's not the usual stuff that we're worrying about. We're usually looking at the temperature gauges, aren't we, for frosts, and checking the skies for snow. But it's the wet stuff that's doing us.
It is. We do still have jumping though at Leicester, and we've got all other action at Southwell. We're going to focus on three races at Southwell. The first of which is the 1 o'clock, which is a Class 6 handicap over 2 miles, so a staying handicap to start us with, Mick. And where do you want to start in this one?
Well, I mean, I know he's 10 years old now, Jawa, but Phil Kirby's got him in good heart at the moment. He's bidding for his third course win, and the booking of Adam Kirby looks highly significant to me. is £6 higher than for his Wolverhampton win on November the 23rd, but did run well off this new mark of 55 last time over course and distance in an amateur riders event. And the stronger handling of Kirby is very much a positive. And when you go through them, Mark, this may not take much winning. Past the time is a danger on the pick of his form, but it's disconcerting that it needed a trip to Guernsey to get him into the winner's enclosure. Having said that, he has been running well over hurdles and at a similar level on turf. And if he takes to the surface, he does have a shout on the book. But his Polytrack efforts are pretty modest at best. So he's going to have to be revitalised, I think, by the Fibersand if he's going to beat Jawab. Opus represents a good yard, that of Lucy Wadham, and ran his best race to date in an amateur riders race at Lingfield last time, finishing 1.5 lengths, 5th of 16 behind Linkable. That form, as it stands, wouldn't be good enough. So he is going to have to find improvement for this dramatic step up in trip. All in all, I think we can safely leave this to Jawab.
Okay, Jawab then in the 1 o'clock. On to the 2:10 next. This is a class 5 handicap over 7 furlongs. And Arabian Flight down at the bottom of the weights there arrives here in good form. She's won two of her last three starts, including over course and distance last time. And her solo form is pretty good as well. She won that one over course and distance, finished second over a mile on her only other trip to the course as well, so she seemed to like it around there.
Absolutely, yeah. As you said, Mark, we're first and second from two visits here, and one from one over course and distance, and she looks ready for this step up in grade as well, on the back of a confidence boosting win over course and distance on the 17th of December, and that was the second win in her last three starts, so she comes here in good form. Her career best is required, but she did run close to this level in her Richard Hannon days, and with proven ability on Fibersand, worth its weight in gold, she can carry on her good record at the track for a very capable trainer, knows exactly what sort of horse it takes to win round Southwell Michael Appleby, and I think she's going to take a great deal of beating. Kung Hai Fat Choi would be an appropriate winner with Chinese New Year not far off,
yeah.
And although he's yet to win here, has gone very close a few times, and having run well, very well actually, over 8 and 9 furlongs recently, this return to 7 I think could be a plus. He's a dual winner over this trip, and he's now £5 lower than his last win. Piscino hails from a stable in good form and went very close off this mark last time. His Turf Class 4 win at Newmarket off a mark of 68 rides well in the context of this, and with his current well-being not in doubt and his ability to handle the surface another plus, he rates a danger to them all. But I do think Arabian Flight is in too good a form to ignore.
Okay, Arabian Flight then in the 2:10, and on to the last race we're going to look at, the 3:45. It's the final race at Southwell on Tuesday. This is a Class 6 handicap over a mile, and General Tufto arrives here in winning form. He scored over course and distance 6 days ago and has a penalty to defy here, Mick.
Yes, and that's going to make life tougher, Mark. I mean, he's bidding for his 12th course win, General Tufto, and you're reluctant to leave him out. But looking back through his overall record, you have to go back to 2009 for the last time that he backed up. So it's, you know, it's asking a lot of the old boy, isn't it? Having said all that, it's not a strong race. I'm just clutching at straws a little bit here with my selection, and that is going to be Tijuca, who's an interesting runner in the context of this, probably mainly due to the booking of Adam Kirby, who certainly caught my eye, made me have a second look. Comes here after an absence of 349 days, which, you know, you would have thought, well, you know, if you don't think you've got it right after 349 days, why would you bother going for Kirby? And but he was showing steadily improved form when last seen, about around this time last year. And being a son of soft ground sire Captain Rio, he may well relish the surface. And if he does, for me, and especially if the money comes for him, suggesting confidence regarding his fitness, in a race that will take no winning, I think Tijuca I think if they have got him straight, I think it's his to lose. A Bladewood girl can usually be relied upon to run her race at this level, but her strike rate makes her of more appeal on the pro market for a place only than for win purposes. But as I said, this is very weak, and if Tijuca doesn't perform, it is wide open. So it's a tricky one to close out with, Mark, but I do think Tijuca is very much the one to be on side with.
Yeah, significant jockey booking, as you say.
Very much Adam so, Kirby, so, after that time off, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's have a quick summary then, Mick, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through our three one more time.
Yes, Jawab, Adam Kirby's been back to booked to ride that for Phil Kirby. Comes here in good form. It's a track that he likes, looking for his third course win. That's in the 1 o'clock. In the 2:10 Arabian Flight, another one with good course stats. Looks as though a big run's in the offing there, especially with her trainer having such a good record at the track. And in the 3:45, maybe Adam Kirby can top and tail the podcast selections by steering Tijuca to victory after a 349-day absence in a very weak affair.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
I will do, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. Then you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. It'll be Dave Kellner, Greg Forsyth and Stephen Pole in the studio. Southwell and Leicester are the meetings on Tuesday. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy all of Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.